Okay, we continue the Rambam, Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel, Perek Tes Halacha Yud Aleph.
We're in the middle.
I know, I don't really have to say it, we're going to explain it, so we'll just go ahead with Yud Aleph. Okay, Yud Aleph is an interesting halacha, although we already said that any, besides loans, we said any debts that are incurred, and we talked about the fellow who shechted for 9 other people, and they owe him money, the end of the 7th year releases all these debts. But here are a number of exceptions. The next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Next number of levels are all exceptions to this rule because they don't fit exactly into the classic loan situation. Okay, first we're going to deal with a storekeeper. Storekeeper in the olden days and still today, people would buy and they'd buy on credit. Now, that buying on credit isn't the kind of thing where the storekeeper every day sends a bill, you owe me this money. It's like it's a tab. He comes on Friday, he put on the tab $50, another week $50, another week $50. This tab went for 6 months, a year, and usually when the person's got the money, he pays him. Okay, this is not what we would call a classic loan where the lender is saying, you owe me money, I'm writing a contract out, you owe me the money, you have to pay it this time. So it's kind of, the guy's not, the whole way it's set up isn't really to be collected at a specific time. So therefore, hakofas hachanus ein nishmetes. So therefore, the bill that's on the tab of a storekeeper does not get released when the Shemitah comes. Because the person doesn't pay him until he has the money. And therefore, a classic loan is, you know, when it's time to pay up the loan, the creditor comes, says, you owe me the loan, and you start pressuring him to pay the loan. And the Torah says, that's the classic loan that Shemitah releases. But here, the guy lends him the money, and it's not lending him the money, he's just buying, and he's saying, you know, when you'll have the money, you'll pay me, and if you don't have the money for half a year, whatever. So especially if this is coming up before the Shemitah, it's like he's borrowing it with the understanding, just like we said before, when the guy has a loan, a 10-year deposit loan, where you can't collect it in the Shemitah. So the same thing, he's not running after him to collect it, bedavka at that time. And when he's got the money, he's going to pay. This seems to be, the criteria seems to be, it's like, for Shemitah to release it is when there's a demand to pay. Okay, that's when it gets releases. You don't press someone to pay. But if there never is any type of demand pay over here, then the Shemitah is not releasing you from those demands. However, that's what the very next line says though. If it gets to the point where the store owner says, you know, it's been a long time already, you gotta pay, you're not paying, we're not gonna give you any more. So now he becomes a demanding payer, right? He turns it into a demand pay. Vimaso milva. Now the guy says, okay, you know what? I'm not giving you any more store credit anymore. I want you to pay me the money. So now he's turning it into a loan. Then nishmetas. Then the Shemitah release him. So he's much better off keeping his mouth shut and letting it go. If you let it go, I've never been demanding from it. But if he demands it, that's a problem.
So does that have to go to basically before that can be enacted as a loan?
Doesn't necessarily have to go to bed. The guy's not denying it. The guy's been going to the store every week. It's obvious that he has a credit that's built up. It's not that you have to prove this. The guy goes, everyone in the world knows that the guy's paying on the tab, on credit. It was very well-known practice. Can't say, no, listen, he's the only store in town. You go every Friday. We know you don't have any money. You're going to deny you all the money? So it's obvious he owes money. You don't even have to go to Bezdin. Okay, similarly, schar socher ein nishpat. Let's say a guy is working for you. And the way they would do it again, it'd be long-term working, and you get paid out after a long period of time. The guy work a year or two, and therefore that's when he pays him. So he's not really, the worker's not pressing him for the money again. Say he worked a few months before, during the Shemitah year, he's working a few months after the Shemitah year. Okay, when you're gonna have the money, you're gonna pay me. So the same thing, it doesn't get released. And again, the same thing, but v'imzakof v'alav b'milva, but what if the worker, okay, sets up the money as it that he says, you know, you owe me the money and I want the money. The milva, that becomes a loan, then mishmat, it gets released. So therefore, it's always in the best interest of these people to be very quiet about it if you're getting close to the Shemitah time, because you don't want to make it into a loan that will be released.
So is that, can that be done verbally, or does it have to be some bookkeeping things to be make it from a...
If the guy is asking. The guy can keep cheshbon. The guy can keep cheshbon. The worker can say, okay, I've worked a month. Okay, I have this amount of money coming to me. I've worked 2 months. But he hasn't come and gone to the boss, the guy's working for, and say, you know, you owe me this amount of money. That's the criteria that has now transferred it into a loan. You're making it a financial obligation. I've been working for you. I'm not asking you for the money now. I've been working. Okay, when the time will come, you'll pay me. But when I'm asking you for the money, now I'm turning it into a loan, and that's only that gets released. Yeah.
So, tell me how this is different. Yesterday we talked about the guy who shuts the cow.
Well, there he's doing it because he's assuming he's getting paid right away. It's not like I'm working months and months. I'm laying it out and I'm expecting to get paid back immediately.
The shopkeeper is expecting to get paid.
Not immediately. He's letting the credit run for months and months. Here, the 10 of us are going to check an animal. I'll lay the money out. I'm not going to wait months and months to get paid for laying out the money. It's much different than shopkeepers who are letting people put money on a tab. He's let the idea of the tab means it lets it run for quite a while. The guy says, listen, we're going to shecht one animal, so I'm laying out the money. I'm not going to wait months and months. I'm laying it. It's a one-shot deal. It's like an uncommon business, you know. I mean, not exactly the same, but, you know, automatic term, 30 days. And I was expecting to get paid that day. All right, so these kinds of tabs were much longer than 30 days. It was months and months and months and months. And it never is considered, it's considered a loan when I'm asking for payment. As long as I'm asking for payment, so the guy's just giving him credit, he's doing a chesed with him.
So let's say, if the normal terms, let's say, with that store, is that every 4 months I send you a bill of what you owe.
Well, once you're sending a bill of what you owe, then it's already now you're putting it into a loan. That's what becomes a loan. Because now you owe me the money. You're formally saying you owe me the money as opposed to
entire year, every 4 months you send that bill.
Well, if it's just to remind him what the tab is, but if he's asking for the money back, he's saying, I want the money back.
I won't extend anymore.
He's saying, I want the money back. I want you to pay me back. That's
net 30 or net 45. It becomes time-bound.
Well, that's already, that's as good as a loan.
Right, so it's relinquished.
But here, the tabs, it's kind of free and easy. It's not like, you know, okay, 30 days you always have to pay. This can go on for months and months and months and months, and, you know, until the guy gets fed up with it. Once he gets fed up with it, now it's turned into a loan.
Yeah, but if he gets fed up with it, he runs a risk.
Okay, so if he's smart, he won't get fed up with it. If he knows it's, listen, if you know when Shemitah is, you know what kind of, store to run. Okay, if it's 2 months before Shemitah, keep your mouth shut. And don't say anything because you're not going to get paid anyway. If it's the first year after Shemitah, you can demand all you want. It's not going to be dragged out for seven years. So you have to, you know, apply the time to how you see things are happening.
I don't want to drag out this question.
You are dragging it out. Don't say I don't want to. Go ahead.
Just further to Martin's question. I mean, if you normally every 3 months demanded it, and this time you don't, is it whatever the normal?
I don't know. Okay, Yidbeis Kenosos. Now we're going to do the next thing. What if the Torah ordains a penalty to someone who did something bad to somebody else? You know, there's different things. If you do something wrong to violate somebody else, the Torah implies a knas, a penalty upon the person. Now the question is, what if that penalty was not paid before Shemitah? So what we're going to learn over here, that there's this, that these penalties are not the same as a loan. A loan is, I gave you the money, you owe me the money, and now Shemitah comes and it makes it as if it's been paid off. Here, these fines, these penalties, it's not that you owe the victim any money. It's that you have to pay. You need pay for kapara. You have to pay the person who got violated. But it's not like the person who was violated is extracting the money for you. It's a question of you getting kapara by paying God, as it were. But somebody's got to get it, so the one who gets violated gets it. So therefore, it's a whole different, it's not a type of a loan at all. It's more a requirement to pay more than for the victim to receive. That's the point. And therefore, they will not be released with Shemitah. Here are the examples. Kenasa shall onus v'shal mafata. We know that if a man rapes another woman or seduces another woman, there's a fine that he pays. Or about Motzi Shemro, man marries a woman and makes a false claim that she was not a virgin and wants a divorce, and we find out he's a liar, and he has a knas to pay as well. So even though the knas was levied, but since it's not a debt that he owes to the person, but rather it's a question of him just having to pay money, to pay a fine. So it has nothing to do with saying that the creditor is released. There's no creditor per se, and therefore Shemitah does not knock off the penalty that he owes. However, again, Vim Zok from the Milva, but if the victim makes the claim for the money, and now you owe me the money, then Nishmatim, then the money gets pushed off. So the question, at what point does this happen? So when does it become a demand of a loan? When you take the guy to court. So it comes out like this. Let's say the fellow rapes the woman. Okay, so now just by raping her alone, okay, if and when we take it to court, the court will say you have to pay. Once the court says you have to pay, now it becomes a loan that can be released. But if, as long as you haven't taken it to court yet, then it's just something that is going to happen, and therefore you'll have to pay it. It doesn't get released. Now we're going to see. There's more to read. You have to give me time. I understand, but once it's turned into a demand, and once the victim is claiming it now, then it shifts from him just having to pay to a specific person, and now that person wants to get his money back, and then it turns into a loan. So initially he has a fine that he has to pay, not to anyone in particular per se, because no one's made the claim on him. He needs kapora, that's what he needs, but the person hasn't made the claim. Once he makes the claim, now he's saying, you owe me that money, and that's when it will come. Now you'll see a little bit later though, once Beis Din makes a psak din, then it's like they collected already. So you'll see there's different stages of the game over here. So when you just do it, and eventually you're gonna have to pay the money, but there is really no specific claim made, there's no specific debt incurred, so there's nothing to be released yet. Once that the person makes the claim and he's saying you owe me the money, then at that point in time you're making a claim which is going to get deferred. Now we'll see later on, three halachas from now, at what point in Beis Din that you'll have to pay and Shemitah won't take it off. We'll have to wait till we get to that point. Yeah.
So I think the other day, Rabbi, you said that if someone does damage, he's not off the hook. So in this case, it would be the same idea. Like if you damage my property and I go to Beis Din, they say, yeah, you owe him $500. How is that different than you?
Okay, so we'll have to see when we get to those halachas. Let's go a little further. Let's go a little further on that.
We can hold our okay.
Yeah, okay. So now, what if... Where am I now? Lost the place. Okay. Now, let's another scenario. Yigimel. What if a fellow divorces a woman? Now he has to pay a ksuva. Does that become a debt that can be released with Shemitah? So Magaresh es ishto kodem Shemitah. If a person divorces his wife before Shemitah, and now he has to pay the ksuva... Ein ksuvasa nishmetas. The ksuva does not get knocked off by Shemitah because that's not considered a loan, but that, for whatever, the Meforshim saying, it's more like the creditor, the storekeeper, in that she hasn't made the claim yet. Okay? So again, it's like an outstanding understanding of the relationship. I don't know. The commentators say it's exactly like the storekeeper. I don't exactly see how it is exactly like the storekeeper. But then again, what is the woman not to get? I mean, there's a whole more to this than just a loan. It's the woman's security that's involved. Okay? And it's not so much she has to claim it. This is just a standard Beis Din procedure. You divorce a woman, you've chosen to have to pay her. That's a little bit different. She's not making the claim. If you divorce her, you know you got to pay her money because that's you don't treat a woman disrespectfully.
It's like the court's judgment on the knas. That's decided. The court's collecting it.
I don't know. He's saying it that Shemitah doesn't knock it off. I mean, I could see the difference there. Here he is. He is releasing his wife, and he has to be able to give her money to get on with her life. So that's not a loan. She hasn't lent him the money. This is something.
He has a financial obligation that now would be no different than a loan.
And it says if she tries to collect it, then it's a debt.
Yeah, no, but if she's collected part of it, in pagamta, if she's already received part of the ksuva, okay, now by collecting part of the ksuva, now it makes it into a debt, because since she's starting to collect it, and now she's saying, now you owe me the rest. Or again, or she's demanded payment, nishmetes. So that's the same rule as well. So as long as she doesn't demand it, she's okay. Same rule. So if the guy's divorcing her right before Shemitah, so a bad husband would divorce a woman right before Shemitah, expecting her to demand the money back and say, ah, Shemitah's out, I don't have to pay you. Smart woman won't say anything till Shemitah's over, and then you go and make your demand. As long as there's no, so it's just like the other ones. It's just like the other ones.
So once Shemitah's over, you can demand it, and that doesn't impact it anymore.
Is the Shemitah, because it has never been a loan yet.
So it's only
it's never been a loan yet. That becomes a loan when I make a demand. If I don't make a demand, it's not a loan.
But I'm saying you can start demanding after Shemitah's over.
Yeah, because it wasn't a loan.
Hold your fire for a year.
That's right. These are all these have all have the same common denominator. In other words, if there's an innate payment that's going to have to come, but nobody's demanding from it, it doesn't become a loan. Once there's demands, or she's already started collecting, it goes without saying there's been a demand. Once you make a demand for it, then you have to, it gets released, because then it becomes like a loan like everything else.
Once that gets in her
hand... She doesn't have to ask for anything. She doesn't say anything.
Once that gets in her hand, then there's a demand...
She's not until she asks for it. Not until she asks for it.
Doesn't have to ask for it to make it happen.
Oh yeah, you go. I'm thank you know you haven't been involved in too many divorces.
No.
I see. Thank God you haven't.
Yeah,
and most guys aren't that forthcoming. Here's the divorce, and here's your ksuva. Here's the divorce. Now Bezin runs after the guy for the ksuva.
Now, what I'm trying to say is he's obligated to pay, even if she doesn't say anything. So it's as if she asked for it.
Okay, but she hasn't. She hasn't. And if she doesn't, the guy's not going to be worth giving
him
this.
The other party's obligated. It's just not being pressed.
That's right. And that changes it into a loan other than that. Rabbi Chana. Okay, we continue now. Halacha Yadalit. It's not going to get any easier.
On the rabbi.
Halmalve al hamashkin. Okay, now the guy makes a loan with a collateral on it. Of movable items, okay. We're gonna see. Okay, so that already ain't a mashmit. Shmita does not knock it off, because the halacha is when a person has a collateral, it's as if the lender already owns the collateral. So therefore, there's nothing to forego, as it were. In other words, I own the collateral. If you pay me, you get your collateral back. So okay, fine. We're going to say you don't have to pay. Fine. He said, fine, I'm going to keep the collateral. So the guy's going to want to get his collateral back. So he's going to give it back to get the collateral back, but not to pay. So therefore, it doesn't release it. However, that only goes to the extent v'ushi hachov keneged amashkin. That's only when the debt is equal to the collateral. $100 loan, $100 collateral. But what if imhoye yasser? What if the collateral, what if the loan was greater than the collateral? It's a $150 loan and $100 collateral. Okay, so the $100 you keep, but that extra $50, it is released. So again, it's considered as if it's already collected, then there's no cancellation. Now we slowly slipping into extending this concept to test vav hamoiser shtoros of lebes. And what if a guy's got a lot of document promissory notes, and he gives it to the bezdin? Firmly says atem vuli chovize. I want you to collect what this guy owes me. Ain anishmet shmita does not knock it off, because it says shenemar v'shayil l'chayes achicha, that which you have to your brother, your brother has to pay you. But here, and you can't collect from him. V'zeh bezdin tovin aso. But this case, he's telling the bezdin to collect.
So he's not
okay.
Big brother. Really.
That's what I tried earlier about the knas being collected by the court, not by the.
Hold on. So now the next line. V'chein bezdin shechot chazdin. Now go back to the law before. What if bezdin now cuts the law? In other words, it's not just the case is brought to court. Bezdin sentences and says, "You hereby have to pay $100 for kusfu." And they write, "Ish ploni atochayov. You have to pay so and so." All right, litein lezek kach lekach, or you have to give to this one such and such. Ain't a nishmat. It's not released. Shazek Kugabu, it's as if it's collected. Kila Balayaru, it's like it's in his hand. Vein Kamilva, it's not considered like a loan. So once Bezdin cuts it, it's as if Bezdin is collected already.
Isn't it Bezdin who decided about the Knas?
So fine, but once they decided it, it's as if it's already in the guy's hand.
I thought we said earlier that the Knas could be canceled by Shemitah.
Not canceled.
No, we say only if you're taking it to court, but the court hasn't finalized it. If you're taking it to court, then you're demanding payment.
Okay, so then it's like,
but once the judgment's made before Shemitah, and you have to pay him, then it's as if it's collected.
So could I ask a technical question here? Let's say you've been the mafate or the onus. You've either been sexually assaulted or you've been seduced. The only way you pay a kanas, I can't come to you and say, pay me a kanas. The only way you can go to kanas is take it to the court. You got 80, and the court says, kanas, you owe her 100 or you owe her 50. That's the only way you can get that thing. So once the Beis Din says, because I can't say you owe me a kanas, I can't say, well, where do you get that from? Well, it says in the Torah, so you owe it to me. You have to take it to trial. You need the witnesses.
Okay, but what if it took it to trial, but it wasn't yet decided?
So then how?
Took it to trial, Erev Shemitah.
But the Beis Din is going to decide once it gets through the course.
What if they don't decide it that day?
So you wait till it's decided.
Well, then it's too late. Could be too late. If it's decided after Shemitah, then it's too late.
Why is it too late?
Because you're making the claim, but it hasn't been decided yet.
So you mean if a guy says, I'm going to only sexually assault people during Shemitah, he's off the hook?
No.
No, but it's
it would only be applicable on the day before Shemitah. 2 months before, Bezdin says, go pay.
How about during Shemitah?
No, because we said only things that carry past the Shemitah. The Shemitah knocks it off. If there's a debt before the Shemitah that's collectible and Shemitah ends, then it knocks off. But anything until then doesn't knock off.
So Beis Din is never going to do that because it doesn't want to knock off a gross fine. It never wants to do it. It's never going to say, let's go over the Shemitah. We're going to wait till Rosh Hashanah.
What if the guy brings it to court? We're just saying what the law is. Beis Din can do what they want. We're just saying what the law is.
But I'm saying the only way you can get the fine to begin with. I can't demand the fine unless
he has to take it to court. He has to take it to court.
But who says that you owe me the money? Who says it's a
kanas? He's making the claim in court. He's coming into court and he's saying, this guy owes me 50 silver coins for molesting my daughter.
And how do you
have that
claim?
Now you've made the claim. You've made the claim already. Okay. That's it. Now is the claim. So that's not, so again, so if you know the law, so what's the smart thing to do?
Don't make the claim.
Don't make the claim if you think Bezdin isn't gonna make you, the guy guilty before Shemitah's over. That's all. That's what's
coming out. Before Shemitah's over.
Before Shemitah's over. Once they make the decision before Shemitah's over, he's gotta pay it.
Make the claim in year 8.
It's as if it's already collected.
So if a guy does this during the, right at the beginning of Shemitah, the guy's off the hook for a year.
No!
They'll decide during
Shemitah. Only at the end of Shemitah do debts get released.
Okay, so if...
So he got 364 days. The Bezdin's going to decide you owe the money. Once Bezdin says you owe the money, Shemitah can't release it.
Right.
So it's not going to be very many cases in which it will get released. It would have to be brought to the court, and then Shemitah ends, and now he's still... And then the Bezdin says he's got to pay. And only at that point could it be released. So it's not a very frequent case in which...
But Bezdin knows the law. It's unlikely
that... And if Bezdin knows the law, they're probably going to tell him, we don't want to hear the case. Come to us after Shemitah.
Yeah, okay. Can I go back to the collateral one for a second?
Okay.
You loan me $100. I give you my watch for $100.
It's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I own it.
He owns the watch now.
I own it now.
So the loan...
You don't want to pay me back? Fine, I keep it. That's it.
It's not that I loaned you my watch.
No.
Now, on the other hand, if the loan is wiped away, then shouldn't the collateral come back to me because the loan's...
No, it's wiped away. You gave it to me. I own it. I have it. It's mine.
I gave it. You continued on the loan. Now, the loan's...
No, but it doesn't matter. But if you don't pay me back, I have it. You don't pay me back, I have it. So you don't pay me back. Fine. But I already have it.
You've already paid the loan back.
You want it back? Give me money. You don't have to give me money. I don't have to give it back to you. So obviously...
No, but I'm saying, I'm just splitting hairs here, but the collateral is based on there being a loan. Now there's no more loan. The loan is gone.
But no, you. Once I have the collateral, it's mine. It's mine. I own it. It's mine.
You lose it.
Okay.
That's only if he pays me back. But if he doesn't pay, you don't have to pay him back. But I don't have to give you the collateral back either. I only give you the collateral back contingent upon you paying me back. If you don't have to pay me back, I don't have to give you the collateral back. I give you the collateral back only when you pay me. So you're released from paying me. So I'm released from having to give you the collateral back too. So the smart case, I want my collateral back. So give me the money, I'll give you the collateral.
Are you a bad guy for not paying your loan? Like, in other words,
what do you think?
I think you are. You can't just say, I won't pay the loan.
Let me say at the bank. At the bank, what do you think that you're...
No, but I'm saying, like, I mean, you were saying, keep the collateral, forget the loan. But I mean...
Listen, obviously, this halacha is based in a situation where the guy is so deep in the water, he'll never get out of his problems.
Right.
Okay, so the Torah says, let him give him a chance to get back on his feet. You know, I mean, there are people who have good intentions. They have good intentions. Yes. You know, let's say a guy, you know, who always borrows money to do business, and he goes to the Orient, he makes a lot of money, and he's building up his business, and then one time he goes, it's a disaster, the ship sank. Now he owes tens and tens of thousands that he'll never be able to pay back. He's going to be a pauper the rest of his life, so the Torah has compassion and release the debt. But if a guy, you know, so you got to figure, if a guy's going to be smart, he's going a week before Shemitah and borrowing $50 million from people, you know, I mean, and you don't really plan on paying back, you know, you're putting people in an uncomfortable situation.
But also Hashem runs the world, too. He's going to realize what's going on, and there's going to be retribution.
But if you think that the guy doesn't really plan on ever paying you back, you never have to lend a guy money.
Right.
You know, this guy's a shyster. You know, a guy borrows from everybody, never pays back. You don't have to lend him the money.
Never.
So, but it could be in the course of normal business, the guy needs a loan.
You better have to give him tzedakah, because otherwise you're putting him in a situation of...
Yeah, but not everybody wants to give tens of thousands of dollars for tzedakah.
I'm just saying if you...
Okay, now we come finally, in Halacha Tezayin, we come to the prose bowl. Kisharah Hillel Azokin, when Hillel the elder, he saw, Shenimnu Milahalva says, he saw people were not lending people any more money. The rich people didn't want to lend to the poor people because they were always afraid that the poor people were going to take advantage of the Shemitah law. Okay? Now, even though the rich people could, they had a recourse even before Prusval. What could they do? Any rich man could go to the best and says, I'm handing over
there
my debts
collect
to collect. They could do that, but you know what? They don't want to bother with it, right? You know, and that only works if you lend with a document. If you didn't lend with a document, it doesn't work. Not everyone wants the hassles. You know, go to the court, wait hours. You know, go get your OHIP card renewed. Okay, no problem. I had to have a test in the hospital yesterday. I had the old OHIP card. The lady's looking at me. She smiles. Says, "You know, you can get a new one." I said, "They didn't ask me for a new one.
I'm not getting a new one." Sure. I think it
says, "Well, now they're making it really easy that it renews together with your license." Is that? I said, "Well, my license doesn't renew for another 4 years. I can wait."
You never have to renew this.
I'm just saying. So you know, just go to the court and give them your 25 documents. And they go wait in line for 6 hours. I don't want to bother with that. And what if I lent you without a document? I can't go. What if I just asked for a verbal loan? So rich people said, you know, I don't want to bother with this hassle. And Hill saw the rich people weren't lending anymore.
Right.
Now that's an Aveira too. The Oivrin al Akosavatorah, they're transgressing also. It says, he shamal chamayadavar, you should be careful that you shouldn't refuse lending people because of Shemitah. So this was not good. So now, and they didn't want to go and give their debts to the courts, the documents of the courts. So he skied prose bowl. He instituted something that's called the prose bowl. Now what does prose bowl mean?
Prose bowl.
Prose bowl. What does it? Prose bowl. Prose bowl. Now what does prose bowl mean? Prose comes from, it's from two words. Pros, bully, ubuti. Pros means benefits, a benefit. A bully means rich people in Aramaic. Ubuti is poor people. In other words, this was a benefit for the rich and poor. That's what pros bull means. A benefit for the rich and the poor. Why? The rich people benefit. They don't lose their money. The poor people benefit, but the rich people won't stop lending them. That's one meaning of pros bull. Another one says that it's a pros bull means pros. It's fixing up the concept. Okay, fixing up this concept that's going on of the lending. So that's the real meaning of the word pros bull. Okay, now ve'ena pros bull moil. A pros bull only works ela b'shmitas k'savim b'zmanas. It only works In Shemitah nowadays, that's only the Shemitah's Ksafim, that's only rabbinic. Remember he said, now there's no Yovel, it's only rabbinic, so don't forget it. So Hillel, when he made the decree, he only made it when we already were in a rabbinic situation of the debts being released. Shemitivrei Sofrim. Avol Shemitah Shel Torah, but if the biblical Shemitah's Ksafim would have still been applicable, or if it will become applicable later on, ain't prosbul malba. Prosbul won't help. Why is that? Because the truth of the matter is, this prosbul really works based on the principle of Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. Bezdin can say, what they could say, your money's Hefker. Bezdin has a part to say, you own money? We say you don't own the money. It's Hefker. That's the rule Bezdin has. So they have autonomy to say who owes what money, whose money is his money, all this. That's, now that general rule of Hefker, Bezdin has Hefker, they would only apply it sparingly. And even though technically Bezdin can make rabbinic laws even to stop biblical mitzvahs, as we don't blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, but they're careful when they flex their muscles. And therefore, over here, because of Hefker, Bezdin Hefker, Hillel would not have wanted to do it to abrogate a biblical mitzvah. So only when it's on a rabbinical level did Hillel feel it was appropriate to do it. Okay, and tomorrow we'll go into much more detail into the prosbul.